so many men had fawned over her. Elsa's soiled doves had welcomed plain-faced Masa with open arms and made her feel right at home. Elsa was satisfied, and in a couple of years, if Masa blossomed, would make her a soiled dove. Alice was gone, but she had made 100 gold pieces from her. The chaos caused by her revelation had passed and things had returned to normal. Her business was running smoothly, and she was content. She had only one worry. As if summoning him, the door to the common room burst open, and in he strode. Sir Lancel Griffinhart. As he always did, he entered with head held high and with a confident air. The way he walked with shoulders back and long, easy strides, it was clear he expected people to get out of his way. He was the heir of the Griffinhart family, and all of its vast lands and wealth, a superb horseman, skilled with the lance and the sword, the possessor of the magical blade Steeltooth, the slayer of the Troll of Red Rock, a distant relative to the royal family and 19th in line for the succession. In short, he was one of the richest and most powerful men in Lothos. Everyone in his way moved quickly. They bowed and murmured words of respect and deference. If Lancel even heard them, he paid no mind. He was wearing steel plate armor with his family's crest emblazoned on its front. Holstered by his side was his magical broadsword, along with a dagger and a fat purse. Following in his wake were 6 men at arms, all in chainmail, and with long swords and daggers of their own. Wherever Sir Lancel traveled, he always kept his loyal men close by. Lancel was a tall, muscular man with a rugged face. It was a handsome face, but the features were all rigid. There was not an ounce of softness to it. One look, and you were certain that this was not a man to cross. His gray eyes were especially unnerving. They seemed to always carry a threat of malice, even when he smiled or pretended to be charming. Sir Lancel could be most chivalrous when he chose, and most generous, just so long as he got what he wanted. Elsa watched his eyes darting about the common room. He spotted Masa in her barmaid's uniform and instantly dismissed her. He continued looking about. Elsa knew who he was searching for. Her stomach was queasy, and she felt a sliver of fear making its way up her spine. Dealing with Sir Lancel was always a delicate matter. He was not used to hearing the word no, and did not like the sound of it. He did, however, care about his reputation and tried always to guard it. Elsa had played on his personal pride by pointing out how poor it would look to steal Alice by force. He had agreed to negotiate with her to avoid any black mark to his good name. Elsa had aimed to get 50 gold ducats from him. She had always understood, though, that there were limits, and that it would be dangerous to push too far. Now she would need to very gently give him the bad news that the object of his affections was gone. At last, the knight stopped looking all around and focused his gray eyes on her. "Where is she?" He strode over to stand on the other side of the bar across from her. Despite her girth, Elsa managed a smooth bow.
"Welcome back, Sir Lancel. As always, your presence in my establishment greatly honors me."
"I'm sure that it does. Now tell me where she is." From his belt he removed his purse and tossed it down on the bar. "I've had enough of waiting. That is 25 ducats, much more than she's worth. Wherever she is, bring her out. I mean to have her tonight and take her with me when I leave." Elsa made no move to touch the purse. Instead, she dipped her head in apology.
"I am very sorry, Sir Lancel, but I'm afraid Alice is no longer available."
"I am in no mood for bargaining or delays. 25 is all I'll pay, and it is more than generous. I've been hungering for her all this time, and I mean to have her tonight. Now where is she?"
"Gone, I'm afraid."
"What do you mean, gone? She was indentured to you. Are you saying she ran away?"
"No,"
Elsa replied cautiously. This had to be handled very, very carefully. Men filled with pride and lust could be extremely dangerous, and that was when they weren't carrying magical swords.
"Someone else paid to take her off my hands and married her as soon as he did."
His smile withered and his eyes narrowed. "That someone would want to marry her on sight, I believe. What I've trouble with is imagining you agreeing to it. You certainly had no trouble rejecting my offers."
"No trouble? It was like fighting off a rabid wolf with a stick." "I would never think to refuse you, Sir Lancel."
She again dipped her head.
"I am a woman of business. I merely sought a proper price."
"What you are is an old whore."
"That too."
He snatched back his purse and tied it once more to his belt. "So tell me, why did you agree to sell her after refusing me 3 times?"
"He asked me my price to free her. I told him it would cost 100 gold coins. He paid it without even batting an eye."
She spread her hands.
What could I do?
100 gold ducats. You could buy a keep for that. No woman is worth so much.
To this one man, she was. As I said, he saw her and immediately declared he wanted her for his wife. He paid to free her, offered her flowers, and made his declaration. She accepted, and they were husband and wife. I admit I was quite amazed. In all my years, it was surely the most romantic thing I've ever seen. Like something from a tale of old.
Elsa hoped the image of such a romantic union would salve Lancel's pride and help him accept his loss.
Is this some sort of lie? If it is, you will regret it.
I would never lie to you, Sir Lancel.
Who was this man? If he was as rich as you say, I would know him.
I am certain you would, Sir Lancel, if he were from Lothas. He was a foreigner, though, a mysterious one. He appeared without warning and left with his beloved just as suddenly. I never saw his face before that day and do not expect to see it ever again. I do promise you, sir, that what I say is true. I would never have freed her had he not paid me a fortune.
Every word Elsa had spoken was true. She had censored the events of that day to spare his pride. There was no way Lancel could be happy to have lost Alice. She didn't need to make him happy, though. She just needed him to accept the fact. The image of some foreign prince riding in and swooping up Alice in a moment of passion would make it easier, as would the thought he had spent more than the knight himself would ever dream to. Lancel turned from her, and instead faced the men and women sitting at their tables or standing near the walls.
"Is what she says true?" he demanded. "Is Alice really gone? Did some stranger really claim her as his wife?"
As she'd known they would, all her customers and girls nodded their heads.
"Aye, it's true. She's gone.
Yes, it's so.
She left."
The common folk steered clear of nobles as much as they could. When they had to deal with them, they had enough sense not to say or do anything to upset them. Elsa could see that Lancel remained furious, but that he was starting to believe that Alice was truly gone. She was beginning to relax when she heard a harsh laughter coming from one of the tables. The sound drew Sir Lancel's full attention. There, at one of the back tables, was a man in plain work clothes, bent over an empty pitcher, laughing so hard he looked in danger of falling out of his chair. He was with a couple of friends who were whispering to him urgently.
"You find something funny?"
Lancel slowly walked across the room to the table. The inn was abruptly silent. The only sounds were of the man's laughter and of the knight's steps as he crossed the floor. Every eye watched them. No one dared to move or even to breathe. At the table, the man's companions sat there motionless, obviously terrified of what might happen. If a knight felt like slitting a commoner's throat, he could do so and walk away from it with hands clean. Lancel came to a stop in front of the table.
"Why are you laughing?"
Harold Brower needed a moment to stop. When he was done, he was splayed out half in his chair and half on the table. Elsa wished the man had not paid a healer to repair his jaw. He was smiling drunkenly at the knight towering over him.
"I'm laughing because you don't know the truth."
With those words, Elsa felt a chill flow through her.
"Please ignore him, Sir Lancel. He's just a drunk and—"
An angry wave of Lancel's hand silenced her.
"What truth are you speaking of? Are you saying Alice is still here?"
"No, no. She flew away."
The words made Harold burst out into laughter again. His friends and many of the others looked away uncomfortably. Lancel did not miss the reactions.
"What do you mean? Did she run away? Was she taken? Tell me the truth or you will regret it."
"The truth?"
Harold answered as his laughter died away.
"I can tell you the truth. I was there, and I saw it happen."
"Then tell me. I am not accustomed to being the source of so much mirth. Depending on what you say, I may forgive your presumption."
"Well, she was married, all right, like Elsa said. But she left a few things out."
"Shut your lying mouth or I'll never let you back in my place,"
Elsa yelled. Lancel turned back around to look at her. The fury she saw made Elsa want to run and hide.
He is a drunk and will only tell you lies."
"Then you have nothing to fear. Now be silent. I want to hear what he has to say."
He turned back to the table.
"Speak. Was Alice married or not?"
"She was. She married a black wizard."
"A black wizard? You mean a dark mage from Alteroth?"
Harold nodded drunkenly.
"He was dressed all in black, and he said he was from another country. Said he'd come here just to take Alice. He put a spell on her and made her fall in love with him. She never would have married him otherwise. I know it.
Lancel again turned back to stare at Elsa.
You sold her to a dark mage. Have you no shame at all? Everyone knows the sorts of things they do. How could you sacrifice her like that?
His gold was real enough, and it spends as well as any other.
What was this wizard's name? What direction did he leave in? How many days ago? I will track him down and cut him to pieces. I'll save Alice.
This brought another round of laughter. This time it was tinged with bitterness and mockery.
Ha! Don't bother. When we saw him trying to take her, we threw him in the river. He's gone.
He's dead,
Lancel asked in surprise. Then what happened to Alice?
She flew away.
Lancel frowned.
Have a care with your tone. Drunk or not, you should be more respectful. If Alice ran away, you might have mentioned that from the start. I will find her.
Don't bother, Sir Knight. She's a monster.
What did you call her, peasant?
He placed a hand on the hilt of his sword. Harold looked back at him, too full of ale and sorrow to care.
She's a monster. When I say she flew away, that's just what I mean. I saw it. We all saw it. Right there on the bridge. She grew wings out of her back. Big, black, leathery wings, like a bat's, but 100 times bigger. It wasn't just wings either. Horns and claws and a tail. I saw it as clear as day. Beautiful Alice was a monster. I saw it, and then she flapped her wings and shot up into the sky like an arrow.
You lie!
He began to draw his sword.
He doesn't lie, sir,
one of the man's companions burst out.
It's the truth, I swear it.
It is true, sir,
the man's other friend spoke nervously.
We all saw it. Ask anyone.
Lancel hesitated and did not pull out his blade. He looked about the common room. All around him, at every table, he saw men slowly nod their heads. No one spoke. They looked ashamed and fearful, but they nodded. He turned his attention to Elsa. She gave a single, quick nod before lowering her eyes.
Are you saying that all this time I was trying to take a filthy monster into my bed?
He was met with silence. Sir Lancel paused and gathered himself.
Alice never existed. None of you are to speak of her ever again. You will not mention me either. I've never visited this place. Should any of you spread any tales, I will come back here and turn you into dog meat. Now all of you, get out.
Everyone hesitated and looked at each other.
I said get out!
The men and women moved, knocking over chairs and tables as they stampeded toward the door. Both of Harold's friends grabbed an arm and got him to his feet. From behind her bar, Elsa hurried to join them. As soon as she was out from behind it, Lancel roughly grabbed her.
Not you, he growled.
Lancel motioned to his men to clear out the kitchen and upstairs as well.
You knew, didn't you?
He tightened his grip.
No! No, never! How could I?
How could you not?
From upstairs, a customer ran down wearing nothing but his breeches. He had a tunic and his boots in his hands. Right on his heels was a young girl who had nothing on but a skirt.
Please, Sir Lancel, I am innocent, I swear.
What would an old whore like you know about innocence?
I know I did nothing wrong. I never knew, I swear it. I swear it by all the gods.
His grip tightened like a vice and made her whimper.
You lie.
I don't. I swear it, please. You are hurting me.
I aim to do much worse to you. You always loved gold, didn't you? That was all that mattered. You sold Alice for 100 pieces of gold. Tell me, how much is your own life worth to you?
Everything. All that I have. Please, don't kill me.
If you were a man, I already would have.
He let go of her.
Out of my sight.
Elsa ran as fast as her fat body would take her. She ran outside and into a crowded footbridge. Lancel reached into the bar and pulled out a couple bottles of spirits. He opened the bottles and poured the contents out into the wooden bar. He then went over to the nearest torch and pulled it out of its hold.
She said her life was worth everything. This is still better than she deserves.
He calmly dropped the torch into the spilled liquor. The flames caught and spread across in a flash. Much of the common room was burning as Lancel led his men outside. Before stepping onto the footbridge, he took a moment to look back at the inn.
I am much too merciful.
Chapter 30 What a Husband Would Do. Waldo blew the last bit of shaving from his wand. Carefully examining his handiwork, he gave a satisfied nod and put his knife away. It's done.
It is?
She was at his side almost instantly, her head craning over his shoulder.
So I can finally see what you carved?
No, he replied. A mage's wand is his most private—
Hey!
Alice snatched it out of his hand and was looking it over. Give that back to me right now. He tried to grab hold of it, but Alice simply held it up out of reach.
I'll give it back to you in a minute. I just want to see what you wrote.
He tried to jump up, but could not get high enough. He felt like a child being denied a sweet.
Alice, I command you to give me back my wand!
In a minute!
He tried jumping again, only to have her dance around him.
You are the worst familiar. You are supposed to obey my direct commands.
I keep telling you, darling, I am your wife, not your familiar.
Waldo silently cursed his botched binding spell and swore to get it right next time. Alice managed to get a good, close look at the wand. There were three names carved. Lilith, Gwendolyn, Alice. She handed the wand back to him.
I know Lilith is your mother, but who is Gwendolyn?
He slid it into one of the many hidden pockets in his robes.
Why do you ask?
Just curious. It's not like I care.
She paused a beat.
So who is she?
The only one I have ever loved, besides my mother, of course. Her mouth fell open.
What? Loved? Seriously?
Is it really such a surprise? He was annoyed by her reaction. I am human, after all.
Well, when you put it like that, I suppose not.
Alice shook her head as if to get rid of some bad images.
So, what is she like?
Clever, sarcastic, and with a very dry sense of humor. She could see something funny in almost anything.
Could? You're using the past tense.
She was killed on her first quest. She's mostly dead now. One of Alice's eyebrows quirked.
Mostly?
She's a ghost. Alice stood there for a long moment, perhaps expecting him to tell her he was joking.
You really mean it?
Why would I not?
So, what? Does she haunt the castle or something?
No. Her soul is bound to a mirror. I can see her whenever I want, but she's not as much fun as she used to be. She's always complaining about how boring it is to be dead and trapped between worlds. Alice opened her mouth, and then closed it, and gave a slight shake of her head.
Well, I'm sorry for your loss.
Thank you. Alice began looking at her fingernails.
So, was she prettier than me?
Why would you care about that?
I'm just curious. So was she?
No. She was pretty, but you were a true beauty. Alice sent him a relieved smile. She might have stopped with that, but apparently felt the need to ask one more question.
You never did anything with her, did you?
What do you mean?
When you kissed me, you said that was your first. So that means you never kissed her, right?
On the lips? He shook his head. We only ever kissed on cheeks or foreheads.
That's all right, then.
Though when we bathed together, she would give me little kisses on my neck sometimes. Her mouth was twisted, and she was making a half-wheezing, half-choking sound. Alice, are you all right? Did you swallow a bug or something?
You took baths with this girl?
Yes, I did. Normally I would have slaves bathe me, but Gwendolyn enjoyed washing with me. He smiled fondly.
I miss those times.
Alice's jaw moved, but she couldn't say anything.
So you saw her naked?
He glanced at her in confusion.
Well, of course. Do people here take baths with their clothes on?
Alice shook her head.
So what else did you do? Did you sleep with her too?
Every once in a while.
What?
Waldo nodded. Sometimes when I had trouble sleeping, I would go visit her bedroom. She was always happy to let me slide under the covers. He sighed wistfully. I always slept peacefully when I was in her arms. Alice put both hands on her face.
I really need to stop asking you questions about your past. So, just who was she? A slave? Another magic user?
She was my sister.
Wait a minute. She was your sister? Your sister?
Did I not mention that? When she smacked him in the back of the head and stormed off, muttering to herself, Waldo couldn't begin to guess what the problem was. After the little exchange, their evening was routine. They made a fire, had dinner. Alice assaulted his virtue to satisfy her appetite for male lust, and then they went to sleep. Despite the occasional punches and head slaps, Waldo was getting used to this new life. With a spellbook and wand, he was feeling more at ease. Granted, the spellbook had little useful magic in it, and he didn't expect this wand to work any better than his others had. Still, just having them made him feel like a proper mage again. And despite her constant defiance, he was glad to have Alice by his side. She provided his meals, acted as guide, and gave him a sense of security. No matter her appearance, she was a succubus, a great monster. Just having her with him meant he was protected. Things had not gone as he had originally planned, but now they looked to be back on track. He went to sleep easily, looking forward to the next day. All magic users had the ability to sense magic. It was something they were born with, along with the ability to access and shape mana. A mage would always know a magical item when he touched it, or sense a ward. Mages could sense each other as well. It was impossible to hide what you were from a fellow magic user. Waldo's ability to sense the undead was different. It was a unique trait that he had inherited from his mother. When undead were in the area, Waldo would get a feeling of cold. Whenever Walter would try one of his ambushes, it was as if there were a chill breeze blowing. He would be able to sense him, and about how near he was based on how strong the cold was. As he was sleeping, he felt a sudden freezing, like plunging down into ice water. His body shook with the chill. Waldo came completely awake and sat bolt upright. He tossed off his blanket and scrambled to his feet. Grabbing his spellbook, Waldo rushed over to Alice and shook her roughly awake.
Huh? What?
Quiet, he hissed. Hurry and get up. He grabbed her arm and got her to her feet.
Hey, what's going on?
She blinked and looked around.
Why are you so scared?
We need to run. He took her by the hand and began to lead her through the darkened woods.
Wait, but our things...
She had her purse always on her, but everything else was being left behind. Waldo was carrying only his spellbook and the various magical items in his many pockets. There was a half moon out, and the stars, but it was still very dark. He dragged her through the bushes and tall grass, ducking beneath tree limbs that he could barely see. He was stumbling, tripping over the uneven ground, trying to keep his balance and keep going.
Darling, what is going on? I can feel your fear.
There is something behind us. He kept running, praying he would not trip and fall.
What is?
She glanced back over her shoulder, but there was nothing. Something very bad, he panted. Alice did not understand, but she held on to his hand and ran with him. As he tried to lead them to safety, Waldo could feel the icy presence keeping up with them. They had gained a little distance, but not much, and it was following. It would not stop chasing them until it caught up. Waldo knew well that the dead never tired. As they ran, he caught his foot on a tree root. Stumbling, he lost his balance and fell.
Darling, are you okay?
Alice quickly got him back up.
This isn't going to work, Waldo panted. We can't run away.
He looked at her.
Alice, I need you to transform and fly us out as far from here as you can.
She hesitated. He knew she didn't like to transform in front of him. Alice could sense his fear through their bond, though, and had to know how desperately he wanted to escape.
All right, darling.
Closing her eyes, she breathed deeply. There was the sound of tearing flesh. Large leather wings ripped out of her back. Horns, claws, and tail all appeared. She wrapped her arms around him.
Hold tight.
Her wings stretched out, then flapped down. Waldo felt the jerk as they lifted up off the ground. When Alice flew on her own, she was as swift and graceful as a hawk. When she carried him, her movements were more like a lame vulture's. They rose sluggishly and topped the tree line. Alice was just starting to take them away when Waldo heard a sharp crack. From down below, a bolt of lightning shot up and struck Alice right in the side.
Ah!
She howled. She lost control and they began to tumble out of the sky. Her wings spread and slowed their descent, but they still came back down to earth hard and fast. His ribs and back hurt like hell. Each breath sent a stabbing ache into his side. He got to his hands and knees, glad just to be alive. What worried him was what was in the back of his head. Fear, confusion, and pain. Alice's emotions were a jumbled mix, and they were coming to him weakly. He knew what direction she was in. He staggered to his feet and went to find her. She'd landed about 20 feet from him and was on her side, moaning. The air was filled with the smoke and the smell of burnt meat. He could see a horrible burn wound on her side. There was some blood, but the lightning had mostly sealed the wound. The danger was in how badly hurt she might be internally.
Alice, he whispered.
Her eyes were half open, and she struggled just to turn her head in his direction. She spoke just one word, but he heard it clearly.
Run. Walda took a deep breath that sent pain stabbing into his side. She could not even stand right now. In her present condition, she was worthless to him. Waldo knew what any dark mage would do in a situation like this. If your life was in danger and your familiar could no longer fight or help you escape, you saved yourself and abandoned her. That was what his mother would do. If he did that, Alice would definitely die. Their short flight had gained them some space, but it was coming. If he ran, it might be satisfied with her and allow him to escape. In a sense, this was what a familiar was for. They were supposed to serve and protect you, and sacrifice themselves if necessary. She would simply be fulfilling her purpose.
Please, go,
she gasped. There were tears in her eyes. Through the bond he could sense worry, and it was for him. Lying there in the dirt, helpless and in such pain, she was thinking about him. It's going to be okay, Alice, he told her as gently as he could. Her tear-filled eyes stared up at him. After all, a husband has to protect his wife. He could tell his words startled her. After the initial surprise, though, she managed a slight grin. There was very little time. He knelt down beside her and gently placed his hands by her wound. The flesh had been charred black, with the edges raw and tender. Despite being as gentle as he could, she still winced. This will hurt, but try and bear with it. I need you to not cry out.
I understand.
With that, he summoned up his mana and began a healing spell.
Noxtoros es corpus desralventi est ostri.
His hands glowed with a pale, silvery light. Alice gasped and twisted. He had to hold her down and keep his hands on her. As the energy flowed from him into her, the spell began to repair what had been damaged. Blood vessels were made whole, muscles reformed and knit back together. The body regenerated what had been destroyed or lost.
It hurts,
Alice cried, trying her best to stay quiet.
I know, and I'm sorry. But it can't be helped. Your body is doing something it shouldn't be able to. The pain is part of the price. I can heal you, but I can't make it painless.
She nodded and clamped down her jaw. Her claws dug into the earth. Waldo focused on the spell and set everything else inside. Alice's pain and the approach of the being who was hunting them were unimportant. He needed all his concentration for the magic. This came naturally to him. The words spilled from his lips, and he could feel the mana flowing easily through him and into her. This was the one thing he had always excelled at. His gift. No matter how he struggled with the more important magics, no one had ever doubted his ability to heal. So many times he had despaired, because his talent was in an area that no one valued. How he had longed to be able to summon monsters, or call down fire, or animate the dead. Abilities that were prized. Right now, though, he was glad that this was his talent. His spell mended her from the inside out, repairing the most serious damage first. Alice was lucky that none of her organs had been damaged. He could have still healed her, but it would have demanded far more time than he had now. As it was, she would be whole again without even a scar. The last thing the spell healed was the skin. The blackened flesh cracked and peeled away, leaving raw, tender, pink skin.
I've healed you.
He got up, wiping the blood and black bits from his hands. Taking his wand, he drew a large circle in the dirt surrounding her. You'll be fine. Alice slowly sat up. She cautiously rubbed her side.
You're amazing.
No, I'm not. If I were, we wouldn't have had to run away. Inside the circle, he was drawing arcane runes and symbols from memory. There were 99 arcane symbols, each one with its own specific meaning and significance. Just as putting together the right combination of letters would create words and sentences, if you wrote out the correct combination of symbols, you could create permanent or long-lasting magical effects, but only if you had the exact formula. Protection was a word. Protection was nothing but the same letters in the wrong order. He thought he had the right formula. At that moment, Waldo would have gladly traded 5 years of his life to have his old spellbook again. Of course, he wasn't sure he had 5 years to trade. When he finished, he stuck two fingers in the circle.
Loratos.
He sent a flicker of mana into it. Before his eyes, there was a subtle glimmer from the runes and circle, and he could sense the ward now active and radiating magic. He gave a satisfied nod. There were a few things he was actually good for.
What are you doing?
Alice asked. This circle will hide you from what's chasing us. Stay inside of it until I summon you or until the ball of fire rises. If I haven't summoned you by then, you're free. It was a rather unnecessary point. The bond would tell her.
She drew a sharp breath and tried to reach for him. "Goodbye, Alice." He ran from her, careful not to step on what he had drawn.
"Waldo!"
Ignoring her, he ran towards the thing that had come for him. As he ran towards the danger rather than away from it, Waldo understood just what he was doing. Every step was likely bringing him closer to his death. His mother would have been very disappointed in him. Not necessarily for what he was doing, but for the reason behind it. When he could feel the presence growing near, he stopped and looked about for a patch of clear ground. When he saw some, he hurriedly drew a circle with the same runes and symbols inside of it. Loratos. The ward activated. Standing inside the circle, it would give him some protection. He took out his wand and faced what was coming. It would not be long now. Only a couple minutes later, he saw a figure step out of the darkness and into the pale moonlight. Tattered black robes fluttered and swayed with the evening breeze as it detached itself from the shadows. The hood was pulled up, but Waldo caught a glimpse of what was there. A grinning skull with yellowish light emanating from its eye sockets. He was able to make out the hands at the end of the robe sleeves. They were skeletal, with grayish mummified skin. The being came to a halt about 20 yards from him. It simply stood there. After a slight pause, the robed head nodded.
"Hello, grandson."
"Hello, grandfather." Chapter 31 Grandfather. Waldo was surprised when he heard a chuckle.
"You know, I kept track of all of you, and I know what people said about you in particular, Waldo. I assumed it was all just meaningless venom. Yet here you are, dressed in snow-white robes. Maybe you really are a white mage, as others say."
"I'm wearing these because of circumstances. My original robes were lost, and these were the only replacements I could find."
That produced a soft, rasping laugh.
"So you had no choice. Yet the first time you leave Alteroth, you are in white. The dark powers are playing with you."
"It wouldn't be the first time."
Waldo saw the hood shake, as it was more scratchy laughter.
"Well, you do have courage. That pleases me. You have no idea how disappointing it is to discover one of your grandchildren to be a coward. Just standing there, you have already surpassed your brother Walter."
"Thank you."
"I dare say you may actually have some real talent. I was most surprised to find you had a succubus in your service. Had you been just a little further away, you might have escaped me. Did I kill your pet?"
Waldo couldn't keep from snarling at the mocking tone. "Yes. She's dead." There was a momentary pause. Waldo could see those sickly orbs staring out at him. They made him feel defenseless.
"How interesting."
His grandfather stretched out the words.
"You are lying."
It extended a bony hand and pointed in the direction Waldo had come from.
"I cast detection spells before coming here, grandson. I know she's alive."
There was another pause.
"Could it actually be you are trying to save her?"
Waldo said nothing.
"It's very noble. Are you certain you're not a white mage?"
"She doesn't matter."
"True, but I'll eat her anyway after I'm done with you."
"Leave her alone. She has nothing to do with this."
"Such anger. Your lifespan can be counted in minutes, yet you are worried about your little succubus. Tell me, is she your familiar?"
"Yes."
"Then why are you trying to save her?"
There seemed genuine curiosity.
"There is never any reason why a master should put his own life in danger for the familiar's sake. Didn't your mother at least teach you that much?"
"Yes, I know. She's already saved my life, though, and done more for me than I probably deserve. I suppose I just want to do the same for her."
"Gratitude?"
it mocked.
"That's not something to be wasted on a servant. My daughter really was indulgent with you, wasn't she? She always was weak, but she used to have standards."
"Weak? My mother is the strongest person I know. Everyone acknowledges her the strongest dark mage in Alteroth."
"Her standards have really fallen, then."
Waldo opened his mouth with a sharp retort, but held up. He stopped and analyzed the situation. Is it not even bothering to use a wand? His grandfather wasn't attacking him. The one offensive spell used had been to prevent his escape. This behavior was like that of a cat with a mouse. "May I ask you something, grandfather?"
"Certainly."
Why are you doing this? Waldo asked. Not just with me. Why did you turn on the family?
Because it was fun, and because family blood always tastes the sweetest.
That's all? Waldo asked, incredulous.
It's very boring being dead. You have to have your fun where you can.
That actually reminded him of Gwen. I think most people would find some other way to pass the time. Bony shoulders shrugged.
To each his own.
Waldo shook his head. I hope you will forgive me if I don't indulge you. The Archlich waved a hand graciously.
I wouldn't want you to. It is so much more fun if you struggle. Do whatever you can to try and live just a little bit longer. It doesn't matter. When I was alive, I was the strongest necromancer in existence. I killed Finland Poison Dagger just outside the council chambers, and no one dared so much as question it. I conquered the city of Beskan alone, with only my undead. In my day, I was more powerful than whole armies. I am weaker now than I was then. Dead flesh cannot summon mana as well as living. Your mother might be a match for me, perhaps, but with someone like you...
It took a stride forward.
What can someone as weak as you do?
Fight, Waldo answered. Pyro. He didn't expect anything to happen, but it was the only offensive magic he had. None of his wands had ever worked, and they had been superbly crafted from the bones of mages. How could this one do any better? Waldo found out. He felt the mana surge through him and into the wand, saw it shine and felt it become warm in his hand. A massive stream of fire shot out. Waldo gaped. For the first time in his life, he was working real combat magic. The flames rushed and struck his grandfather in the very middle of his chest, billowing and spreading out. For just a second, Waldo's hopes soared. He had done it. He had won. Waldo expected to see the Archlich burning up like a torch. The moment of triumph ended as quickly as it had begun. The flames danced and spread, setting the grass on fire, but his grandfather was unaffected. Even his decrepit robes were unharmed.
You look disappointed, grandson. You didn't expect it to be that easy, did you? I always cast protective wards.
It stood where it was, making no effort to counterattack.
Feel free to try something else.
There was nothing else. He had no other offensive spells. Repulso! He again felt the mana in him flow easily from his body into the wand. This spell worked specifically on the undead. If he could cast it strongly enough, it might at least force his grandfather back. The Archlich's robes billowed and twisted as it caught in a light breeze. Rasping laughter echoed through the forest.
You actually expect such a minor enchantment to affect me? Is that truly all you can do? I had no idea my daughter had grown so careless. How did she let you live to adulthood? For that matter, one of your siblings should have gotten rid of you long ago.
It casually held out its right hand, holding thumb and middle finger together.
Zatoski.
Waldo hunched his shoulders and clutched his arms in front of him. Nothing happened, though. At his feet, the circle and runes gave a fleeting glimmer.
A protective circle. I would have sensed it when I was alive.
It seems we are at an impasse.
Hardly.
It pointed to a tree.
Levitaros.
There was a sound of snapping and tearing. As to Waldo's shock, the tree was torn from the earth and lifted 15 feet into the air, roots and all. His grandfather had just done that using one of the most basic and rudimentary of spells.
Are you beginning to understand now, grandson? The vastness of the gulf that lies between us.
It casually flicked its finger.
Catch.
The tree was sent flying towards him. Instinctively, Waldo dived to the ground. It sailed 5 feet above him, crashing into and tearing out a gouge in the forest. His grandfather merely nodded.
You've broken your circle.
Once more it touched thumb to middle finger.
Zatoski.
Before Waldo could even scramble to his feet, he was hit by what felt like a stone wall. The air expelled from his lungs, he was sent flying through the air. His ribs exploded in fresh agony and he could taste blood. Ignoring the pain as best he could, Waldo forced himself back to his feet. Somehow he had held onto his wand. Spitting out blood, he steadied himself and took rapid, shallow breaths. His free hand pressed to his side. His grandfather was still just standing there.
Run, it commanded. If you can't give me a good fight, At least give me a decent chase. Now run.
Not having any better options, Waldo decided to do just that. As he stumbled through the dark, ribs hurting with every step, he racked his brains to come up with some sort of strategy. He had memorized everything in Roger's spellbook, illusions and weather magic. He also had various wards, defensive spells and healing.
What good will any of that do me now?
When he'd put some distance between them, Waldo stopped and healed himself. He hadn't wanted to waste the time or mana, but the pain was getting to be too much. Once that was done, he tried to think rationally about his options. Waldo could sense his grandfather approaching, but not quickly.
Probably wants to enjoy the chase, Waldo muttered. Just how was he supposed to fight someone so much more powerful than he was?
Until now, he had been used to thinking of undead as relatively harmless. They were dangerous to ordinary mundanes, but not to him. Waldo recalled all of Walter's pathetic attempts to kill him, and all the different ways he'd handled them. He thought of all the weaknesses of the undead. It was thinking about Walter that led him to an idea. It was very basic, but it might work. Better than nothing. Waldo began running again, while keeping his eye out for just the right spot for what he had in mind.
What an interesting boy, Lucius Corpse Lover thought. Almost a pity to eat him.
He set out at a regular walking pace. There was no need to rush things. This would be the last time he would devour the heart of someone with his blood. Oh, his bratty daughter was still alive, but no matter how poor a parent, she was a very competent mage. And unlike some of her children, she at least was no fool. Going after his daughter was far too dangerous, so sadly, tonight would be the last time he would have someone in his family for dinner.
There are always the branch families, I suppose, but it just won't be the same. Lilith is not going to have any more children. I should have waited until I had great-grandchildren.
Lucius really didn't think he was at fault. It wasn't as though he had been a glutton. Since becoming a lich, he had only eaten three of his kin. His son and heir, Tyver, his granddaughter, Kara, and his grandson, Walter. It wasn't as if he had set out deliberately to exterminate his line. A wolf doesn't kill all the sheep. But the world was a dangerous place, and Lilith had obviously been incompetent in training her children.
I should have eaten her and let Tyver live.
So now he was down to just one grandchild, the one everyone had seen as the family disgrace. And honestly, the heir to the Corpse Lover family going around in white robes? If this was what the family had come to, it was just as well his line ended. At least someone from a branch family would not be an embarrassment. The boy had courage, and it was not completely incompetent like the rumors said, but he was much too weak. And he had bizarre notions. Risking your life to save a familiar? Where had he even picked up such an idea? As he pondered that, he noticed a mist rising all around him. In a matter of minutes it grew thick and filled the whole area with a dense fog. Lucius could not sense magic, but this was obviously the result of a spell. Being undead, his vision was also not as clear as it had been in life. He was effectively blinded. Going through the forest in this manner would slow him down. However, it did nothing to interrupt the detection spell. He knew exactly how far away Waldo was and in what direction.
Still, not a bad use of his limited abilities. Lilith should have done more with him.
He set out again at the same pace. The dead never tired. No matter how the boy ran, there was no escape for him. As Lucius went, he nearly ran into a few trees. Even for an archlich, navigating through this boundless fog was a hindrance. He could have easily dispelled it, but he decided to allow his grandson this tiny victory. Lucius wanted him to think there still might be hope. It was soon clear the boy had stopped running. He was simply waiting up ahead.
Is he too tired to run anymore, or is he planning an ambush?
The answer came in a stream of fire as he got within about 20 yards.
Pyro!
His grandson said from somewhere in the mist. As before, the flames were deflected harmlessly away. Lucius laughed.
I give you credit for having courage, grandson, but is that the only spell you know?
As if in answer, another stream of fire came. It proved as useless as the others.
This begins to grow tedious. Either use a different spell or start running again.
Pyro!
A third blaze was turned aside by his protective wards.
Brave but stupid.
Lucius began walking towards him. If the boy wanted to die fighting, that was fine. At least he was not ending his life on his knees crying and begging as Walter had. It seemed Walter really had chosen to make a last stand here. He was not moving. His grandson was holding his ground as yet another useless stream of fire lanced out. Lucius strode confidently towards him, excitement building within his decayed heart. The thought of ripping out his last grandchild's heart and devouring it before the boy's eyes filled him with delight. This was why he had come to this miserable land and wasted so much time chasing after Waldo. It was for this feeling, this excitement, and this joy. Knowing what he was about to do made him feel alive again. To have this sensation pulsing through him was worth anything. Lucius was within 10 steps, and the boy was still not running. 8 steps. 6. 4. He ran into a wall. Lucius bounced back. Had he run into a tree? He saw nothing in front of him, and his grandson was too tantalizingly close now. Lucius stepped to the side to quickly skirt around the unseen object. To his annoyance, he again struck some sort of barrier. He reached out with his hands and found the air in front of him as solid as stone. Quickly feeling around, he soon discovered he was trapped. Looking down, Lucius saw he was standing inside a circle with runes written on the outside.
Nunc.
That won't work, Waldo's voice called out unseen. Look at the symbols. Lucius did so. He took a moment to study the runes scratched out in the dirt.
I see a containment circle for undead, combined with magical suppression. A very complex formula. Did you have it written in your spellbook?
No, I just pieced it together. Lucius was surprised. Combining different effects in a single ward was tricky. Even for a competent mage, it would normally require weeks of research and experimentation to figure out.
It seems you have some talent, grandson.
Thank you, grandfather.
Such a shame your potential was wasted. You might have actually been formidable one day.
I still might.
No, you won't, Lucius said with certainty.
Being within the circle had negated the detection spell, so he could no longer sense exactly where Waldo was. His grandson was so close, but out of reach.
It was a clever trick. Your attacks were never meant as anything but a distraction. You deliberately led me to this exact spot.
I have a lot of experience dealing with undead, grandfather. Whether you are a lich or a zombie, all undead can be trapped and held within the proper ward. Dead flesh slapped together as Lucius applauded.
Yes, it was well done, but it will not work a second time.
I'm satisfied that it worked once.
Enjoy your victory. Savor it. Not many people have faced me and survived. Just know this will not hold me long.
It will be long enough for me and Alice to get far away from here.
Ah, so the succubus's name is Alice. I will be sure to introduce myself to her properly before I rip her to pieces. Tell me, boy, would you prefer me to kill her first or second? I can let you watch if you like.
Don't threaten Alice. Waldo's voice was harsh.
Your succubus is doomed now just as much as you are. You've stopped me, but this is only a delay. Nothing more. I will hunt you down, boy. No matter how long it takes, no matter if you run to the ends of the earth, I will never stop chasing you and your pet until I have ended you both.
Good to know. Lucius then heard the sound of Waldo walking away. The archlich began to chortle, then hoarse laughter poured from him. He had not laughed like this since turning.
This will be so much fun!
Lucius howled as he tossed his head back and laughed and laughed. And laughed. Chapter 32. A Temporary Escape. As soon as Waldo had gone a safe distance, he summoned Alice. Consalo. Instantly she appeared before him, lying on the grass at his feet. It took her a couple seconds to realize what had happened. When she did, she climbed up to her feet.
Darling, you're all right.
She grabbed him and gave him a shuddering hug. Alice put her face against his neck. After a moment, he realized she was crying. Waldo slid his own arms around her and gently stroked her back. It's all right, Alice. Everything's all right now. Though they needed to get going, the two of them stayed that way for a while, holding and comforting each other. They spent the entire night traveling. In spite of her wounds, Alice carried him through the air, eager to put as much distance between themselves and Waldo's grandfather as possible. She did the best she could. But it was physically impossible to fly very far while holding on to Waldo. The extra weight was a strain. She could not fly much above treetop level, and was as graceful and maneuverable as a boulder. They could cover about half a mile before she was forced to land and rest for a bit. Each time they were back on the ground, Waldo would ask her if she was all right. He would use some of his magic while rubbing her wings and shoulders. Unlike what he'd done healing her wound, these were minor magics. His hands were gentle as he touched her. She would feel warmth soak into her body, and a little of the exhaustion would vanish.
Are you all right? He would ask her over and over again as he soothed her aches. And each time she would smile for him and tell him she was.
Was that really your grandfather?
Yes, Waldo answered and continued to heal her.
Why did he want to kill you?
Because it was fun, and to a lich nothing is sweeter than the taste of your own family's blood. Alice looked away. She didn't really understand, but it wasn't important. When it had mattered most, he had risked his own life to save hers. Even if he didn't say the words, she now knew he truly loved her.
Thank you for saving me. I owe you my life.
Alice felt his hands tremble ever so slightly. Through their bond, she felt a momentary surge of guilt and confusion. You don't owe me anything. You've already saved mine. I suppose we're even.
I guess that's true, but I'm still grateful. A husband and wife should take care of each other. I feel blessed.
Blessed? Alice nodded.
We protected each other, and now you don't have to feel in any sort of debt. You don't need to feel guilty about what happened tonight.
She turned her face back to him, smiling tenderly.
I'm just happy to know how much you care about me.
Through the bond, she felt another sharp pang of guilt. His eyes avoided hers.
Do you feel strong enough to fly some more? Or would you like more rest?
She was as eager as he was to get further away.
I can go.
She wrapped her arms firmly around his chest, so that his back pressed to her front. She spread her huge leathery wings and stretched them as far as they would go. With a grunt, she flapped as hard as she could, and the two of them staggered into the air. Alone, she would have ascended easily and then simply glided along as she pleased. Carrying Waldo, she was forced to continuously keep her wings pumping in order to keep them in the air. Before long, she was sweating and her shoulders were aching. She didn't complain, though, and took them as far as she could before feeling exhausted. They did this about 24 times. They decided to stop only as dawn approached, and with it, the possibility of being spotted. They landed in a patch of woods not far from the road. Alice was completely spent. She reverted back to her human form and was quickly asleep. Waldo was not as exhausted as she was, but he was tired. With all the spells he'd used, he was almost tapped out of mana. For a mage, using mana had a similar effect to performing physical labor. It used up your energy and wore you out. It could be recovered naturally through sleep. It had been a very long time since Waldo had felt as drained as he did now. He had poured all that he could into healing Alice and fighting his grandfather. It would take at least a couple nights of rest to fully recover, but sleep would have to wait a little bit longer.
There is no rest for the wicked, he muttered to himself as he popped out a knife.
Alice had curled up in a patch of grass and was fully asleep. Waldo got down on his knees and stabbed his knife into the earth. Grunting with the effort, he hacked and cut and tore at the grass. Both hands on his knife, he dug out a line. He silently muttered and cursed at just how hard it was. His forearms ached and he was sweating.
I was never made for physical labor.
He glanced at Alice and thought about waking her to have her deal with this. Seeing her peaceful face, he decided to just let her sleep. As he struggled with his task, he wondered at everything that had happened, and at his feelings. He had actually put himself into danger for her. He hadn't planned to. It had just sort of happened. When he'd heard her cry in pain and seen her wound, all he'd thought about was how to save her. He had made himself a target just to keep his grandfather away from Alice. Then why are you trying to save her? There's never any reason why a master should put his own life in danger for the familiar's sake. His grandfather's words had been mocking, but truthful. What he did made no sense, but he was glad he'd done it. He completed cutting a circle around where Alice was resting. He paused for a moment and rubbed his hands. Tearing out grass with a simple knife had been harder than he'd expected. He didn't allow himself more than a short respite before he got down on his knees and hands and began tearing out patches of grass inside the circle. When he had set out from Castle Corpse Lover, he'd thought of all the problems he would face, capturing monsters, defeating a knight, and dealing with all the hazards of the road. Somehow, though, he had never thought about being attacked by his grandfather. That had definitely been stupid on his part. Grandfather had killed and eaten the hearts of 2 family members. It only made sense it would want to do the same to him. That he had even survived the initial encounter was something of a miracle. His wand had worked better than he'd ever dreamt it could. Even with that, all of his spells had proved useless. Waldo had only managed to trap his grandfather because he'd been underestimated. That would not happen a second time. He tore up grass and tossed it aside. In the dirt, he scratched out runes and magical symbols. When he was done, he had created a circle of secrets. It would defeat all but the most powerful scrying magic. From this point on, staying hidden would be a priority.
It could not prevent his grandfather from tracking them down eventually, but it would at least make it much harder. When all that was finally done, he lay down beside Alice. He looked closely at her sleeping face. He stared at her shut eyes and her lips. He would never deny that she was beautiful or that he cared for her. He wondered at these strange feelings. They couldn't possibly be normal for a master and servant. He'd seen how servants were treated. He'd had favorites, but his feelings for Alice simply didn't match. He thought of his feelings for his mother, and to a lesser degree for his sister Gwendolyn. Those seemed similar to how he felt about Alice. He couldn't accept they were the same, though. He loved his mother and his sister. He couldn't possibly be in love with Alice. That was impossible. Love was a terrible weakness, and no dark mage would be fool enough to fall in love with his servant. Be affectionate with them? Certainly. Be intimate? Surely. Truly love them? No, never. With one hand, he gently brushed aside a lock of hair that had slipped over her face. A thumb ever so softly caressed her warm cheek. Just being able to look at her and know she was safe gave him a sense of comfort. As he shut his eyes and drifted into sleep, he thought again how what he felt could not possibly be love. Chapter 33. Something for Alice. They slept for several hours. Alice was the first to stir awake. She opened her eyes to find her husband resting up against her. After everything they'd been through, it was comforting just to see him alive and well. She gently rolled him over onto his back and was lying half on top of him. Alice placed a kiss on his lips. His eyes opened immediately. His confusion and awkward stare only made him that much cuter.
"You don't mind, do you, darling? I'm starving."
"No," Waldo said. "I don't mind." Alice was taken off guard when he placed a hand behind her head and pushed her back down. Her lips were on his again, but he was kissing her. For a second, she stiffened. Not from opposition, just from surprise. Not only was he initiating this, but he was kissing her very eagerly. It felt wonderful. She relaxed and leaned into his lips. One hand remained at the back of her head, as if to ensure she would not try to get away. The other was slowly running down along her back. His mouth eagerly played with hers. His desire was strong, and her hunger dissipated and quickly vanished. Waldo had never done anything like this before. She was the one who always had to start things. Having him be the aggressor for a change was a bit exciting. She liked it. If his hands started to roam, she wouldn't mind. Alice thought she might be ready to let him do whatever he wanted. After several minutes of kisses and soft touches, he stopped and looked up at her cautiously.
"Are you full now?"
"Afraid not. Still hungry."
"All right, then."
They went back to their very eager kissing and touching. Eventually, they had to stop and get going.
"We need to reach Middleton before dark," Waldo said. "My grandfather will want to avoid entering a city if he can."
"So that means we're safe now?"
Waldo shook his head. "My grandfather is determined to come after us. He will never stop. I have a few wards that can keep us hidden, but he will track us down eventually."
"Then what can we do?"
"For the short term, get into the city and find my second monster. For the long term, we will have to keep moving until I can figure out some way to deal with him."
"All right, darling. I trust you know best."
At long last, they reached Middleton. Waldo was pleased that the horrible ball of fire was still in the sky. There was still time to get everything done today. Depending on what sort of great monster was waiting for him, their odds for survival would greatly improve. "A vampire would be best," Waldo told her as they approached the city. "A really vicious, bloodthirsty vampire."
"As long as it's not another succubus, it's fine."
"You understand that I will have to perform the same binding ceremony I used with you."
"You're going to kiss her?" Alice said unhappily.
"Or him. But I promise it will be no flowers this time."
"I guess that will have to do."
Waldo sent her a sideways glance.
"I can't return home until I have three monsters bound to my service. Defeated a knight, and found a certain treasure."
"I know, darling," she said. "It doesn't mean I have to like it, though."
They continued on for a bit when she turned to him.
"What sort of treasure?"
"Something very precious and very well guarded. It will be the hardest part of my quest, and I can't even begin to consider it until I have taken care of the other parts."
Alice nodded, apparently satisfied. They entered Middleton through the south gate. The guards manning it were most respectful to him. They mentioned that the city gates shut at sunset and reopened with dawn. One of them offered to send a message to the Baron of his arrival. Waldo waved that away. The last thing he wanted was to draw more attention. 12 hills dominated the city.
Each was surrounded at its base with a fortress wall with towers. Even from a distance, one could see mine entrances carved into each hill, along with roads spiraled down from top to bottom.